This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Joining you once again on this Thursday for Thursday Coast with the founder of the largest online progressive community. A lot to talk about today, too, Marcos Melissa. Before I do that, for those of you joining, it'd be derelict for me not to, even in this broadcast, acknowledge the two anniversaries in many of our lives today. One, today is the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March, and we want to thank all of you who played a role 30 years ago and who are playing a role in your local events this year. If you've not seen everything that's going on or want to know where there's an event near you, go to millionmanmarch2025.com. That's millionmanmarch2025.com to find out more there. The other anniversary is sacred to my family because this is the 81st anniversary of my mother's birth, October 16th. So we remember her and we wish her a happy birthday in heaven. And lastly, for those who don't know, today is also the anniversary of John Brown's famous raid on Harper's Ferry. You know, y'all always heard me say we need some folks with some John Brown kind of spirit, maybe not violent. We were in class this week and my classmate did a presentation on Frederick Douglass. And a lot of people don't know, John Brown went to Frederick Douglass, a black man, obviously, and said, hey, man, I want you to do this raid with me. I want you to engage in this. And Frederick Douglass said, no, I don't think that's going to turn out too well. We don't have enough manpower to take on the whole Union Army. but this is also, so those are the three anniversaries. And so with that, with all those things happening, we still have a maniac in the White House doing crazy things. The government is still shut down. Talked to some people last night who are expecting to lose their jobs. The few that are still being paid through the end of the month, that's probably going to stop. So things will be thrown into more chaos. And so without further ado, with all of that, my friend Marcos, buddy, how are you today on this shutdown day? How many days? It's been over a week, right?
I think we're getting to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Approaching in that, but the ICE raids in Chicago, they're not stopping.
That
part of the government isn't shut down, unfortunately.
Yeah. That's still happening. That's interesting. So I guess they would call them essential workers. Because those are still working, the people who are essential.
But at some point, they're going to have to stop paying them as well. And I don't know where you're going with these questions, Mark, but I just... I've been in the middle of this ice stuff, and obviously it impacts my community deeply. And I got to just say that, has there ever been, in the history of movies, have the good guys ever worn the masks? Like, if you're walking around masked, afraid of showing your face, you're the bad guy.
Yeah.
Whether it's stormtroopers or Cobra Commander, G.I. Joe, or... down the list, ninjas, like always the evil ninjas. They always got their mask on. Like every time you see a mask on, it's villains and these ice goons. And so if nothing else, the Supreme Court has said that a president could shut down government agencies that have been funded and approved by Congress, right? This is a thing the Supreme Court said now, giving Trump basically godlike powers. first thing our Democratic president needs to do in 2028 is shut down ICE. There's just no justification. And even if there's a case to be made of an ICE-like organization that needs to, I don't know, hunt out actual criminal immigrants. Like, nobody says keep criminal immigrants. If that's a thing, start from scratch. Like, literally start from scratch, because the culture and these goons, these literal goons that are walking around with their masks thinking they can do anything they want in unmarked vehicles, kidnapping people off the streets, zip-tying 12-year-old children, rappelling into apartments for some reason. That's a broken culture. Like, that is a broken culture.
I'm just looking this up. Why hasn't the shutdown stopped? So law enforcement is being treated as essential personnel, which is not that unusual. So that's how they're being treated as personnel. But you're right. I don't wonder. I mean, if there's no money, where does the money come from? I guess unless there's a pool of money that just continues to exist, then what is going on, you know?
I mean, air traffic controllers aren't being paid, and you would think they're kind of essential.
Yeah. I mean, that directly affects everybody.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is from the American Immigration Council. Because most of ICE's work is deemed essential law enforcement work, and it's essential in quotes, enforcement and deportation operations will continue without significant impact during the shutdown. That means that throughout the shutdown, ICE will continue the current trends and levels of immigration enforcement, including arrests and raids, expansion of the rapidly growing detention system, and deportations. But that does beg the question, what happens if the money runs out? So we'll delve more into that. You got a couple of significant pieces out there too. Just you mentioned what Democrats need to do. You wrote about this week Trump winning the America that Democrats forgot. What do you mean by that?
I mean, you had John Kerry talk about the two Americas, right? Martin Luther King talked about the two Americas and the issue of race. John Kerry talked about it in economics, right? You have the class that is the America that doesn't have to look at grocery prices when they're going to buy groceries. They have the wealth, they have the good education and access to good education, whether it's public or paying for private universities. They have political power, they have good healthcare. Have all the things. And then you have the America that doesn't have quite literally any of that. And even in John Kerry's presidential runs, which was what, 2004, 2008, that was still very much a Democratic platform, a Democratic position. And people on that lower end of the socioeconomic ladder, they voted for Democrats. And that changed. And we've talked about this several times where Donald Trump won people making under $50,000 for the first time that I've ever seen. Some political historian might find some counterexample, but I went and looked at exit polls for several decades, and I couldn't find another example of that. And Kamala Harris handily won people making over $100,000. She won them by 5 or 6 points. So we flipped, right? We're the party of the elite. We're the party of the educated. We're the party of people who have good healthcare. And mostly we're urban and coastal. And so Republicans have sort of stepped into the speech for whatever reason. A lot of it is culture war stuff. It's abortion. It's racism. It's demonization of immigrants. It's playing on a rural America that really has been alienated from prosperity in all its forms. I mean, there is direct correlation. I think I've mentioned this before, but it blows my mind every time I even say this stuff. There is direct correlation between the number of meth labs in a county and Trump vote. And what that speaks to, it's not that meth heads vote Trump. melting map enter of voting. what it means is that the places that are so economically downtrodden, where people have lost hope, they've lost any semblance of connection to any institutions, their life is absolute crap. That's the Trump base, right? They're nihilist. And the reason they love Trump is because they expected him to hurt the people, to hurt other people, because they're hurting. They're in pain. And they want other people to suffer. So Democrats, once upon a time, used to speak to those people and talk about like unions and jobs and prosperity and better wages. And that somehow, I mean, Democrats will pay lip service to a lot of that, but there is a growing sort of divide between that rhetoric and I think of what people perceive the Democratic Party to be, right? And we went through a phase, and I actually, Mark, I'm with the woke agenda, like 100%. I think we lost a lot of people with the woke agenda, not because we were talking about those things. Most people in polling, very clearly, they don't think trans people should be discriminated against. It's not that they hate trans people, is that they think the Democratic Party is more concerned about trans rights and DEI and immigrants than they are in the economic welfare of the rank and file. And this is why I think Latinos voted for Trump in record numbers. It was like 46% of Latinos voted for Trump, which is just absolutely humiliating to me as a Latino. But there is a certain amount of privilege to worry about things like democracy and abortion rights and transgender rights when you can't feed your family. And when people literally don't know where they're going to get the money to feed their families that week, they're not thinking Trump is a threat to democracy. They see Trump saying, I'm going to drop prices on day one. And even if you're saying he's a tyrant and he's a fascist, they're thinking, good, then that means he can drop prices. He can use strongman tactics. And this isn't theoretical, Mark. I've seen this in El Salvador. We've talked about this, right? Where the country was wrecked by violence and economic despair. And President Bukele was elected and immediately has dismantled the democratic institutions of the country, including the judiciary, has basically abolished any habeas corpus rights. And people cannot be more supportive of him because they're safe now. And when you have a safe country, the economy starts to flourish. So people will give up their freedoms to be able to feel safe and to feed their families. And I think Democrats, I think we've sort of thought, because most of us are doing well financially, the economy is doing great. Jobs are at a record low. Jobless rates is at a record low, right? We had all those arguments to make, yet that was very sort of that economic prosperity was very sort of concentrated in the liberal enclaves of this country. So we could talk about democracy and trans rights because we weren't worried about being able to pay rent and buy groceries. That's a problem. And I don't think it's not about abandoning those values and those communities that are part of our coalition and things that we care about. It's actually running campaigns based on the issues that people actually vote on. It's just practical politics 101, right? Republicans, they ran on that and then they have abandoned those people. I mean, that's been the bulk of my writing in the last few months. It's just how Republican policies and Trump are hurting Republicans probably more than they're hurting liberals.
Well, so Democrats didn't run on it. And even if we had won, we would not have abandoned. Republicans ran on it and have abandoned.
That's just the great irony of our political situation. It is totally messed up.
So, yeah. I'm still not getting. Did Democrats just take for granted that people got it, and were they just completely naive to the disinformation and the propaganda war? And I think that's part of it, because you know, like I said, the Million Man March, the way they were able to confuse and pick off a lot of some black men, there was Republicans targeted our communities. They targeted Latinos. They targeted everybody. They attacked wokeness. Let's be honest. You know, you and I, people like us and all of our listeners really defend, we're allies of the LGBTQIA community. And we live in a world now where many people are not discriminatory by nature or by practice. But when you send out propaganda and disinformation that convinces people that this is the only issue Democrats are dealing with, and that's trans rights, you know, and I have people I know, I answer people in my family, Mark, you know, it's too much trans talk. I said, it is. I don't see that. I see one commercial that they ran on a loop. And we had no answer for it, not even answer we're given. Hey, y'all, don't be fooled. We stand for these rights, but we also stand for your kitchen table issues. You know, don't let someone, sometimes you have to respond precisely to what the attack is and what the agenda and the nefariousness is. This is trying to get you to support someone who's going to abandon you as soon as he wins. He is lying. He wants to trick you with this issue, with this wedge issue, and then not do anything for you when he's in office. We didn't do any of that. Why is that? What's wrong with us?
So, the thing about that Trump ad, and it was very, very effective. It was probably the most effective ad of the 2024 campaign, was the Kamala Harris at an ACLU forum being asked about gender-affirming surgery for prison inmates. First of all, why is the ACLU even asking that question? Why does it think that affects like three people need to be a topic of discussion? So again, the left, oftentimes we shoot ourselves in the face by demanding that politicians address issues that affect a tiny majority of people, but are easily blown up and demonized by the right wing. Sometimes it's better just to shut up and assume that our people are going to do the right thing, because generally we're going to be better than the Republicans on these things. So anyway, she gets asked this question and she basically says, it's a law, I'll follow the law, which even Trump did, right? Whatever. If you look at the ad, that wasn't the damning part of it, right? So basically the narrator in the screen says, Kamala Harris is for they, them, Donald Trump is for you. That was the piece. It wasn't, we hate trans people, you should hate trans people too. That's all they want to talk about, while we're going to talk about the things that actually matter to you. And I've said before, Ben Danny is running a fantastic campaign, almost pitch perfect, not 100%, but almost pitch perfect when he focuses on economic concerns, right? That's what a politician's job should be, is to make everybody's lives better. And so I don't know how you counter that. I mean, when people say everybody's talking about trans rights, really, there's no Democrat out there giving speeches about trans rights, right? Like, it's all defensive. They're the ones that keep talking about trans people and obsession. And you have a situation now where people voted because they thought Democrats were too focused on trans rights, and now they're being hurt because they actually voted for Republicans who don't care about people making under $100,000 a year. Mark, I got a tax cut with this freaking tax bill that I fought so hard to defeat. It's not like the core Democratic base is actually makes over $100,000 a year. They got a tax. I mean, not a big tax cut. You got to be a millionaire and billionaire to get the big tax cut, right? But I got a tax cut that I don't really need. So it's frustrating where we're in a situation where, like, okay, you voted. Now, what, six trans women can't compete in sports? Congratulations. I hope your life is better because of that. Oh, but look, Trump just canceled your economic development project in your backyard, and he's cutting rural healthcare funding with Medicare cuts. You're going to lose your hospital. Oh, and your school, your rural school is going to shut down because the Department of Education, which funded those rural schools, is being shut down. And like down the list, rural postal service. Oh, that's going away. I hope you love your rural postal service. Because Mark, rural Americans, liberals, were funding everything in rural America. We don't need their food, Mark. We can get their food from Mexico and Peru and Ecuador and Canada. We don't need their food. They needed our money to be able to have schools and postal service, healthcare, education, jobs. But they voted for the party that told them that it was the cities that was sucking them dry. And they believed it. And now that Trump is systematically dismantling our government, it just so happens that it's rural America that's bearing the brunt. Because, Mark, New York City, Chicago back here, San Francisco, where I'm back home, the city's got money to do what they need to do. They're not dependent on federal dollars to make stuff happen. Rural America does not survive, and they rewarded our charity because we never said, we never complained about funding those schools and that those postal services and broadband and all the things that rural America got. They can't pay for themselves. We never complained, Mark. Did you ever hear any Democrat complain about that? No. We always funded that stuff. All we thought were Americans were in this together. They decided they were going to punish Blue America for helping them by electing somebody who is literally dismantling the very core of rural infrastructure.
I keep saying to y'all, I keep reminding you, those of you watching, if you see my on video, you see my background, I am on the battleground of the Battle of Gettysburg, and people are still fighting this war. What Marcos said, I want to take a minute here because Marcos has said this before, but I really want people to get this. You've never heard on the left or amongst progressives or liberals or the civil rights community, just any in the Big Ten, you've never heard a complaint about the largest cities, the more blue states and blue cities subsidizing the red areas of this country. Nobody's ever complained about it. Honestly, Marcos, I don't know that a lot of people even realize it. That's not something that is in everyone's mind every day. But as Marcos has just said, what Trump and his minions have done is wage war against the blue for doing that and taking it for granted and disinforming its base that that's what blue cities and states do freely, openly, and without reservation. That's just the way it is. That's the way it has to be. 1863, same thing. Abraham Lincoln said, you know what? The Union is going to help rebuild the South, despite the fact that they broke off, seceded, and caused the war, right? That's just, so here's the same thing. And so Trump has brought that mentality back, but at the same time has hurt the very constituency that fell for it.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
and I know you also wrote about it. I want to focus on this one story. There are many, but the Kentucky town, red state, and they've lost senior care because of Trump. That's a prime example.
Yeah, and I've been writing a ton of these stories just because it really drives home. These are like 70-80% red counties that are losing their, in this case, at Kentucky Town, it's a senior center where they all got services and now they have to drive 2-3 hours. And where are seniors going to get, drive 2-3 hours to get care, right? It becomes a real quality of life issue. But they thought, this is a crazy thing, right? They're like, oh, we're going to vote for the guy who knows how to run government like a business. Aside from the fact that Trump never ran a business in any way that would suggest confidence, right? Aside, let's pretend he was the best businessman in American history. When you're talking about running a business, you cut inefficient divisions of your business, right? That's just what you do. It's saying work and you're going to cut it. There's nothing efficient about rural America, Mark. Literally, if you're going to talk about fraud, waste, and abuse, really, that's rural America. Why are we spending a disproportionate amount of our money on parts of the country where like 10 people live? Like, what's efficient is, again, behind me, I have downtown Chicago. I have the Loop. That's efficient. Everybody's crammed in together. You can have services that are accessed by lots of people. When you have 10 people living in a square mile, right, in out in rural America, that's not efficient. That's the first thing a business would cut, which is why we have government subsidies for schools and broadband and the post office and all those things, because it's not profitable to run those things without massive subsidies. So basically, they just voted to gut themselves of all the services that you and me, and I bet a bunch of your listeners, that they subsidize for these ingrates in rural America. And so, yeah, they lost their senior center. Mark, I kind of feel bad, but not really. I just got to say, like, I would feel bad if they voted to protect those services. But what's bad, and this is what makes things worse, rural America voted for Trump more in 2024 than they did in 2020 and 2016. They become even more pro-Trump. So it's kind of hard to be like, didn't you learn your lesson the first time that you were losing these services? They don't want to learn. And I don't know if it's really because, trans people may play a sport in a state far away or a college that I'll never go to. Like, who cares? Why do they care? I mean, Fox News is telling them to care, and that's why they care, right? But why do they care when they're losing their senior center, their schools, their hospitals, their broadband, their post office? And they are. They're going to lose this because as Trump guts the government, that's literally what the government does. The bulk of it is subsidized. They can't touch Social Security. They can't touch Medicare. Yeah, they're playing with Medicaid. They're gonna, you got the Pentagon. That's not going to be touched. Everything else, really, it's subsidies that predominantly help Republican voters. And Mark, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that it actually affects a lot of our people. Like, that's obviously it does, right? But it's amazing that they have voted. They thought that Black and Latinos were different than them. They're all benefiting from the same programs, from the same food stamp programs, from the same WIC, and from the same child tax credit, and from the same Section 8 voucher. Like, they're all benefiting from the exact same programs. And they voted to gut themselves, which, again, is why I've always made this argument that Democrats, they do a terrible job of tying government services to politics. So instead of putting a child tax credit into the tax code, mail people a check. Mail them a $50, $100 monthly check and say, if you vote for Trump, they'll lose this check.
It probably also doesn't help. I mean, Biden was weak. And even if somebody could have made those arguments or tried to implement the strategy that we're talking about, I don't think he was the one to do it. I think he didn't have it. And I'm not trying to put the man down. And it's not about an age thing. I mean, because some of us who go back with this candidate in the past, you know, he wasn't always old. but he always kind of messed it up.
Traditionalism there that I think is obsolete in today's America.
Yeah.
This notion that we're going to play nice with the opposition party because norms. Like that needs to, and people need to see benefit. Too many Democrats have done things for the sake of the institution. Oh, we must keep the traditions of the institution. That's not why you're in politics. You ain't in politics to protect the Senate's institutional. And you know who got this right? Was freaking Mitch McConnell. And Republicans hate him. Like, they don't appreciate what he did for them. He gutted Senate traditions to benefit his party so that they could deliver what they promised to do. And they've been wildly successful, right? They got the Supreme Court, 6-3. They've been able to gerrymander, and they've been able to really gut the progressivism that was embedded in our government. That's your job as an elected official, is to get stuff done. It's not to protect the institution. Oh, we must protect blue slips. Get out of here with that crap. So this is why we talked about this, 2 weeks ago, Mark. Like, I think the person who's going to win the nomination is the one who can basically be like, I'm going to be just as much of an a-hole as Trump was. And because that's what you need. Apparently, that's what you need. Mark, this ceasefire in Gaza. I'll say this right now. I don't think Kamala Harris gets here. Because neither side would have looked at her and said she will do what needs to be done to get people to come to the table. Trump is an a-hole. They're like, I don't know what he's going to do. You may start bombing us for all we know. Like that might be the one place where being a bully may have actually helped. It's early. Who knows what's going to happen? Can he keep things? I don't think he can keep things going, right? But at least he got them to the ceasefire. We need government that will be aggressive like that. Like, it is an era of aggressive government. Trump has shown us the way. He's done it for evil. We can do aggressive government for good. But we can't be stymied because, oh, well, the filibuster. No, get rid of the filibuster. You don't blame inaction on things you have control over.
We saw what happened the other night when she was protested, which, you know, that has its own thing going on there. I'm not sure what that's about. As a matter of fact, to that point, people still demonstrate, which goes to show you, I mean, and I said this at the beginning, when October 7th happened, I told you all, I saw Iranian hostage crisis right there. I mean, I saw, and that's
in the very beginning.
Yeah, I see that from the very beginning. Now, that is, I'm not saying that Hamas didn't do what it did, and it wasn't, you know, I'm not saying that was the, there can be several conspiracies in one. Hamas kidnapped people. Netanyahu has been encouraging people to finance Hamas, and this affected the election. All three of those things can be true, right? And Hamas, you know, treated the hostages as human shields. Hamas does not, that's number four. Number five, Hamas does not truly represent the Palestinian people. That's number five. All of those things are true. And now, I mean, it's easy to do a ceasefire once you've decimated everybody, once everybody's dead. You know, that's the easiest thing in the world. And we can talk, and everybody, all these countries, Britain and France, Palestinian state, we're going to recognize statehood. It's been cut up. You literally would have a gerrymandered state. Really, I'm not saying that. I mean, it is cut up into several, with the settlements and the way Palestine and everything, West Bank has all been separated. There are no states where half the state is up here or a third of it's up here. Another two-thirds is way down in the south somewhere. All right. So all of those things are true, and it's a mess. And it's funny, you must be, unless you're watching us on Facebook too, Marcos, here's a question on that subject from attorney Ann Wilcox of the National Lawyers Guild. Miss Ann is a good friend and been my attorney over the years. Here's Ann Wilcox's question. Does the student demand for human rights for Palestinians resonate for Democrats and Republicans, or just one? She wanted me to ask you that, Marcos. So what are your thoughts?
I mean, couple of things here. One, it's, to me, it's frustrating to see this much energy and attention on Gaza and Israel when we literally have a dictatorship happening at home. You have a fascist. And so there is, to me, disproportionate energy spent on that. That said, I have no control over that. That is, there is, I mean, Nick Kristof wrote a fantastic column in the New York Times today where he basically talks about the shared humanity, and we need to get back to shared humanity because it's so much black and white thinking. It's not human rights for Palestinians, right? This notion that it's one side that has only suffered is not supported by the historical record. And both sides have credible arguments to make about this massacre and then that massacre and then this massacre and then that massacre. And they both have historical claims to that territory. I mean, who was there in the biblical era, right? Like, for the land back people, read the Bible. That was Israel, quite literally, right? So there is so much wrapped up where everybody tries to pick a side and pick a team that in itself makes it impossible to have peace. Talk about human rights for Palestinians. Yeah, I want human rights for everybody. Like, I want human rights for, my God, like, for Sudan and Congo. And, like, go down the list. Like, there are people being Ukrainians. There are people suffering all over the freaking world. And this issue is so freaking complicated. There's literally nothing simple about this. And this, my team and their team thinking, where it's like team Israel and team Palestine, leads to a place where, Mark, I don't know if you saw Mamdani's interview on Fox News last night. He was freaking brilliant 99% of the time, except at one point where he was asked to condemn Hamas and he couldn't do it. I don't understand how you can't condemn Hamas. He had an All Lives Matter response to, whoa, what do you think about Hamas? Well, all lives matter, basically. Is this not hard? Hamas is freaking horrible. Bibi's freaking horrible. Like, you can say that. It's okay. It's okay to say that the people in charge right now are the worst people. And they are leading that region into continued and perpetual violence and chaos unless we can back out of that somehow and find that shared humanity. And Kristof talks about this organization that sounds absolutely lovely of grieving families who have come together from both sides. So grieving Palestinians and grieving Israelis who have lost children in the war, and how they banded together to try to find that shared humanity. That is what's going to get us to human rights for Palestinians. But you know what? Hamas doesn't give Palestinians human rights. When's the last election that Hamas has allowed? How many gay people can freely express their homosexuality in Hamas territory?
Yeah, and that's why I don't understand why you can't answer that question in that way. You can just say those things, you know. And when was the last time there was an election? I mean, it just, yeah, I don't.
I want human rights for Palestinians, but they're not getting it right now from their leadership. Hamas isn't the answer that's going to get us there.
Well, not only that, and you all, you know, share in the comments with your thoughts. Here's another. As Marcos and I criticize our own party, why can't anybody criticize Hamas? You know, so let's just be clear. We just did a whole thing about the Democrats' failure in the election. The only person I've heard say what I'm about to say is me. Okay, we're Hamas, and we're going to go and attack Israeli civilians and kidnap them and kill a bunch of them. What did we think that was going to accomplish? You said, so even if you say, oh, Hamas, most of you who would say that didn't wake up on October 7th and say, I sure will be glad when Hamas kidnaps Israeli civilians. That's what we got to do that. Nobody was thinking that. Nobody in the world. I doubt any guys will say, I can't wait for Hamas to go kidnap some Israeli civilians from a concert. I mean, I'm not trying to be tongue-in-cheek. I'm just saying, y'all, so when we do these things, Marcos and I are critiquing. Now, let's talk about Netanyahu.
Oh, Google it. Yahoo, he's...
Google it.
No, yeah. I mean.
And it's convenient now to say, okay, ceasefire after you've done everything you've done. I mean, you're going up against the Israeli, you're Hamas, you're going up against the all-powerful Israeli military, all of its allies, and Jared Kushner, who wants to build beachfront property.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and carry out this operation anyway. So at the end of the day, who did that benefit? That's what you always got to look at. Who that paramilitary, whatever you want to call it, move, who won that? Now, in a sense, obviously, it's the first time, and we're still talking about your question, and I want to respond to it somewhat. In a sense, this is the first time you've broken the ceiling with a lot of people on human rights for Palestinians. I mean, even American Jews are like now, hey, this is a little out of control. You've never seen that debate publicly. So that's real. People, I mean, there's a groundswell. But it only comes after the decimation, if not the genocide of a whole community. So if some people don't want to say genocide, okay, well, you can say decimation. You can say, you don't want to say genocide with me today? Say decimation. Let's not be intellectually dishonest about that. But here's the other thing, though, which is peculiar to me. During the Biden administration, demonstration after demonstration, campuses, colleges, even Kamala got hit the other night. But where have we seen the resistance to Trump in the streets?
Yeah.
And how is he allowed, even after all this, just roll him, say, oh, got a ceasefire, and I need a Nobel Prize, and I'm a great person, and all of that. And if people don't, we don't understand history, we don't read history, this is 1980, 81 all over again. It was the same thing. Carter couldn't do it. Oh, Carter. And then Reagan comes in, but what they did, they didn't spread it out. They did it on the same day. As soon as Reagan took his hand off the Bible, the hostages were freed.
Yeah.
And then we didn't know what we didn't know yet until a few years later, he had cut a deal for arms trading, arms for hostages. Basically, I mean, you think about it, that was the setup. We're going to let these hostages, because we already agreed with you that we're going to give you some arms later. So, yeah. So in answer to your question, I don't see Republicans talking about human rights for Palestinians. I see Trump talking about a ceasefire, but we've not heard vocabulary human rights attorney Ann Wilcox come out of the mouths of Republicans, Republican politician. We've just not heard those words, human rights. So I don't think we can say that it resonates if they've never said it. They've never said human rights for Israeli hostages. I mean, this has always been transactional, and it was transactional for Netanyahu, and it's transactional between Trump and Netanyahu. Okay, moving on. You wrote a week ago about that the Democrats were winning in spite of our criticism of Democrats. You said a week ago they're winning the shutdown. Is that still the case?
Yeah, in the polling, where it's people are far more likely to blame blame Republicans and Donald Trump than Democrats. About a third of people blame Democrats, and about a quarter blame both sides equally, which is people going like, oh, both sides suck. But yeah, if you look at the people who blame Trump or both sides equally, you're looking at about 60-65%. I mean, that's a significant majority. And I don't know what that means from a, yeah, I don't think Trump cares. I don't think that's going to sit down the government or open up the government anytime sooner, but it does sort of limit the political damage. And I think it stiffens Democratic spines. Because right now, I've written this, everybody seems to think that Democrats could end this, and it's only a filibuster that's stopping this. Remember, Republicans can end the filibuster tomorrow. Like, the filibuster is not law. It's a procedural guideline in the Senate that can be overturned with a simple majority vote at any time. And both sides have done it. This is like, that's why, you know, Mitch McConnell got rid of it for the Supreme Court justices, right? And that's how they were able to ram through all the Supreme Court justices. So they can end this thing right now. Trump seems to be having fun with this. He thinks it's hilarious. That is hurting him quite clearly. But what I think that the important thing is, we don't want Democrats to cave on this, right? Like, and there's no reason for them to cave. And as long as people are blaming Republicans for this, And the argument's simple, right? They have the House, they have the Senate, they have the White House. Like, what? And so this notion that it's a Democrat shutdown, like, it's other than like right, like conservative MAGA diehards, nobody's buying it. Independents aren't buying it.
Marcos, as always, my friend, good to have you, good to be with you. So you rooting, are you out of it? Are you rooting for anybody in the playoffs now? Or
not? Yeah, I'm rooting for Seattle.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be fun.
It's kind of cool to have somebody who's never won.
Yeah, and I'm mad at the Blue Jays about beating the Yankees. I'm bitter.
It's always a good reason to vote for the game.
You know, for those of us who love baseball, and don't get me wrong, I like the Dodgers. The Dodgers are great. I love Mookie. Mookie grew up not far from my hometown in Nashville, but it would have been kind of cool to see two teams that had never won before.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's been to the World Series, but Seattle, Milwaukee, I mean, I think people would have
that kind of cool. That. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my professors in my intense, I was in an intensive course all week, and one of my professors, John Paul, actually is a Milwaukee fan. And so he's taking a little bit on the chin. But Seattle, I mean, they're up a game. They're home. They got the next two games there. Milwaukee needs to do something tonight, even.
Yeah.
Down two another. They beat the Dodgers, I think, six times this year. And Shohei hasn't been hitting well. That's what I'm saying. Baseball is it's a tough sport, y'all. It can be a very cruel game. It is a game of failure. You go to the Hall of Fame if you hit 3 out of 10 times.
I know. It's crazy.
In your career. So,
yeah.
Marco, it's good to see you. We'll do it again next week.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks so much.
All mind clear, it has been Made Plain. Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.